8 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. WABC New York, 880 on your dial. All aboard for Box 5, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Bomba Delta, Bomba Delta, Bomba Delta, Bomba Delta, Bomba Delta.
As you know, friends, the United War Fund is drawing to a close.
Hey, is that still going on?
You're doggone right, mister. And in case you'd like to know where a part of that money is right well spent, just hang on for a while and listen to your Vox Poppers, Park Johnson and Warren Hull. They're going to talk with some people from USO Camp Joe's who are just back from overseas. Okay, Parks and Warren.
Okay, Chappie. Hello, folks. This is Park Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
And we're broadcasting from the stage of the CBS Playhouse here in New York. Folks, you've heard of Bob Hope and Joey Brown and Carol Anderson and people like that who've been overseas entertaining our men and doing a magnificent job. But tonight we're going to talk to a few of the hundreds of entertainers from the USO Camp Joe's who've been overseas for 6 months, a year, or even longer.
That's right, folks. They've gone to the most remote places on Earth, wherever the Army and Navy have asked them to go. All right, Park, say, who is this distinguished-looking gentleman you have here?
Ah, you surprised him on that, Warren. Well, our first Vox Popper is from a well-known theatrical family. His father was a famous minstrel, and many of you know his sisters, Thea and Winnie Lightman, I'm sure. Freddie ran away with a carnival when he was 15, and then he served 22 months in the Army during the First World War. And since then, but maybe we'd better let him talk for himself. Folks, we want you to know him from Greenport, Long Island, Freddie Lightman.
And I'm going to have to hold you up here, because you're an old head of this. Say, Freddie, you are a comedian.
Well, it's an excellent rumor.
Oh, it's a rumor. Well, it's a well-founded rumor. I know that, old boy. Say, would you finish up your life history for me?
Well, I have been in practically every branch of show business but opera. I'm not quite ready for that.
No, not yet.
But I've been in vaudeville, musical comedies. I've been in
Boylet.
I've been in radio.
Oh, yes.
And movie pitch.
I remember one summer, you and Jane Foreman took the summer show for that kind of thing.
We attempted correction, please.
Correction, yes, sir.
All right, Freddie.
So you've been overseas more than once with the camp show?
I've been over three times.
Three?
Where'd
you go?
Well, I went to Iceland, Greenland, Labrador, Bermuda, the South Pacific, and I'm about to go out about a week and a half for another little trip.
Oh, boy. So let's talk about Iceland, Greenland, okay?
Yes, I'd love to.
Sort of cold up there, wouldn't it, Freddie?
A little chilly around the edges.
Yeah?
Yes, and do you know the most remarkable thing? Above the Arctic Circle, there are beautiful bumblebees and butterflies and fur-bearing mosquitoes.
What's that last?
Fur-bearing mosquitoes.
Wait.
Now, I tell you, Park, it's the absolute truth because a doctor took me in the lab and showed me under the microscope a mosquito with a fur coat on.
You're serious?
I'm not too sure, but what he didn't have earmuffs, too.
It was cold enough up there for
Freddie, I've heard about mosquitoes being mistaken for B-38s, and the boys half filled them before they realized that it wasn't. But this one beats me, a fur-bearing mosquito. Who was in that unit of yours up there in Iceland?
Well, we had Bobby Henshaw. He was a ventriloquist, did a lot of tricks. Then we had a fellow by the name of Jim Penman. He was a juggler.
Yeah.
A fellow by the name of Len O'Gunn. He was a magician. And we had Wally Bold, young chap that did weird tricks with balloons, made little figures and things out of them. We had a fellow by the name of Mitchell Davidson, who was our accordionist and one-man band. And, of course, I was with him.
Yes, and Freddie Lightning was along with him. Hey, Freddie, tell me, where did you give your shows?
Anywhere we could give them. Sometimes mess halls, sometimes we gave them in church, sometimes we'd give them out in the open, wherever we could.
How many men would be in the audience?
Oh, anywhere from 30 to 3,000 or 4,000.
I know, but I'd like to ask, what was the reaction of the men to your shows?
They were so starved for somebody from home to tell them some of the jokes that they knew and remembered. I had lots of them. They really told the punchline before I heard. But they really and truly were crazy. But we were the first show up at this Icelandic base, so you can imagine how much they enjoyed it.
Well, what was your reaction to the men?
I was never so happy in all my life as to give those boys a few chuckles from home.
That's why
I'm still out going until I can't go anymore.
Good work, Freddie. Now listen, on that South Pacific trip, who was along in that unit?
Well, we had Maxie Rosenblum.
Maxie?
Yeah.
So who was the comedian on that trip?
That's still in debate.
Was it a sort of a long, dull trip on the way down?
Well, of course, you know, looking at water and clouds and the thousands of... One thing, I believe we really are the originators of the only softball game played in an airplane 10,000 feet in the air above the Pacific Ocean.
No, now you mean
that's an actual fact.
What do you use for bases?
Well, actually had a softball, and we had a crate of Joe Brown's athletic equipment. He was sending the boys down.
Joe.
And that was on one side of the plane. And then we had a life raft. We clapped it right there. We used that for second base, and we used a gas mask for home plate and a broom for the bat.
Softball game above, I'll tell you, that's going something. Hey, you know what? We've talked more than our allotted time, and we're going to have to throw in our horns here. I wanted to ask you about those Icelanders and people.
Oh, they're wonderful.
They're wonderful people.
Yes, I can
tell you. Bromasalsa wants to thank you. I want to thank you. And Bromasalsa has something for you right now to remind you of this occasion we hope for a long time. It's a round drum-style game table with rich red leather top. Look at it over there, please.
What you know about
it? Yeah, and we've got a matching red leather card case complete with six decks of cards.
Isn't that wonderful?
You like it?
Oh, I'm
all right. And
Connor,
a beautiful, uncrushable foulard dressing gown for your next trip overseas.
Woo!
Okay. All right.
Thank you a lot, Freddie.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And one other thing, Freddie, and all you people who will be on the show tonight, we just want you to know that a recording of your part of the broadcast will be mailed to you very shortly.
Folks, you've never heard of USO Camp Show's Overseas Unit Number 61, consisting of Earl Wrightson Baritone, the Weston Brothers Comedy Team, Johnny Barnes, Tap Dancer, and Roger Warren, pianist accordionist, but over 100,000 servicemen in Australia and New Guinea have. Here are two of that unit number 61, just back from 6 months in the Southwest Pacific. Earl Wrightson of Baltimore, who sung with the New York Philharmonic and in Radio City Music Hall, and Roger Warren of Brooklyn, who gave up teaching piano and accordion to entertain servicemen. Let's talk to them. Earl Wrightson and Roger Warren. Step right up your talk, boys. Whistle about doing it right here. Say, what's the first thing that happened to you fellas when you signed up?
Well, Warren, for quite a while, we just continued to sign and sign. We sign our lives away from it.
What else?
Well, as far as shots are concerned, we got shots, and more shots. Shots in the arm all over the place. Anything from tetanus to housemaid's knee.
You were just like soldiers.
Well, yes, absolutely G.I. As soon as we leave the country, we get in the hands of the Army, and we are really G.I. from then on.
Okay, well, Earl, how did you get over to Australia? By plane?
No, we went by ship, Warren.
Oh, you had a nice long ocean voyage to rest up on.
Oh, a fine rest. We did about 3 shows a night on the way.
Three shows?
Yes.
For the fellas?
Well, you see, we had a very small lounge and could only accommodate 200 at a time. The boys would wait out in the blackout on the deck, and we'd do shows in relays for them.
Well, it's too bad you couldn't do shows out on the deck.
Oh, I think Roger could probably tell you something about that.
Oh, yes, we did shows on the deck all right, Warren. Even though it was black there, I always dragged out the chaplain's organ when I could borrow it, and we played some jam sessions on the old church organ.
Well, that was real blues in the night, all right. How did you live over there? What sort of quarters did you have?
Well, you know, we lived in tents, and we slept GI, ate GI. That includes dust and mud, too, Warren.
Well, what size were your audiences, Roger?
Oh, I'd say anywhere from 1 to 10,000 men at a time.
You mean you actually did the show for one man?
Oh, yes. One case particularly I remember, one flyer who had just been shot down, and he was quite severely wounded, burned, and we did the show for him in his tent. He was all by himself, and we did the show right by his bed. I don't know how much of it he saw. He could have heard it, but he was swathed in bandages. And so we heard later that he had enjoyed it. He sort of mumbled his thanks. But he is getting better. We heard later.
Good show.
You mentioned doing shows in the hospital. Was there much of that?
Why, yes, Warren, that's one of the most important phases of USO overseas work. We play hospital wards in the afternoons. We do our big shows at night. And we've played, six, seven hospital wards in the afternoons, several afternoons a week.
Yes. Did the weather ever stop you, Roger?
I'd say not. We don't think the boys stopped fighting, winning this war when it rains, and we didn't stop our shows during the heavy rains when it come down like a sheet of water. Why, all we do is to put a handkerchief right on the microphone, slip down our shorts and get a couple of GIs to hold a raincoat or something over my accordion, and away we go.
And Dick Weston used to do his impersonation of a woman taking a bath. He'd put down the stage in the rain and the water and just wash. He'd have one lot of water to put it.
Say, how did the sunset go?
Well, we got close enough so that half of our audience had to go out and be a sniper guard while we did a show for the other half, and then they'd move in, and the others would go out and guard them while we did the show all over again.
Well, I guess you were up there all right. Say, do you fellas want to go back?
Well, we're on a 48-hour call. I suppose that's the answer. You really like it?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Wine, the greatest show on earth is going on over there, and we want to get another good front row seat.
Oh. Have been doing a wonderful job, and we want to thank you, Earl and Roger, for giving us a slight picture of overseas from a different viewpoint. The Bromo Seltzer is happy to present you, Earl, with a regulation Army Air Corps three-shooter ballot pack.
Oh.
And for Mrs. Wrightson, we have a lovely dark brown corduroy sports coat.
Oh, fine.
And for your pride and joy, little Wendy Ann, who doesn't like dolls, see here, we have one that she should like. It's a twice life-size white-breasted penguin with yellow feet and a big red ribbon around it.
Oh, thank you, Earl.
Roger, for you, Earl says that you're quite a typist. So we have a typewriter table and a chair to go with it. And for your mother, from Jensen's, we have a dainty 17-jewel ladies' wristwatch. And because you're going across very soon, overseas again, we have, through the courtesy of Planters Peanuts, 3 dozen vacuum-packed tins of peanuts. Earl said that you're crazy about them and couldn't get them. So here they are, 3 dozen vacuum-packed tins. Thank you, Roger Warren and Earl Wright.
Thank you indeed.
All right, folks.
Remember last week I told you that Bromo Seltzer has been on the market for over 50 years? Well, as near as we can figure out, the family of Mrs. K. Richlew of Detroit, Michigan, must be among the Bromo Seltzer's very first customers.
Yes, sir. You're right. Our family was first introduced to Bromo Seltzer about 50 years ago. And here's how it happened. My mother got a common sick headache just a few hours before she was to attend a wedding. On the advice of a neighbor, we bought a bottle of Bromo Seltzer. Mother mixed one for herself and in just a short time felt much better and was able to go to the wedding. From that day to this, we've never been without a bottle of Bromo Seltzer in the house. Our family can't thank Bromo Seltzer enough for the quick, effective relief it's given us for so many years. Best wishes to a truly grand product.
Thank you, Ms. Richlew. As a customer of over 50 years standing, we think you'd be glad to know that today Bromo Seltzer is more popular than ever.
Yes, friends. Today, more people than ever before take Bromo Seltzer for fast relief from common sick headaches. Fox and I think that once you try Bromo Seltzer, you'll make it your standby, too. So try it, won't you? Ask your druggist for a bottle of Bromo Seltzer tomorrow. Sure. Okay, Fox?
You bet it's okay. Folks, when she's at home in Brooklyn, there's just Peggy and Mother and Mike to I had to tell you. But Peggy isn't home much these days. She's just returned from 11 months overseas with the USO Overseas Camp Show Unit number 24. It's tough on a woman, these trips to remote battlefronts. Not just weeks of it, but months and months of it. Yet they all love it. Now here's a pretty, charming, and chock full of personality young lady that tens of thousands of your sons out there have applauded overseas. We want you to know her. She's from Brooklyn, Miss Peggy Alexander. Peggy, I'll hold you to keep your hands off that microphone. You look to me like a girl who's in love.
In love?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you really must know, sir, I'm in love with every boy I met over there.
Every man in uniform, Peggy.
Yeah,
I know you are at that. A little bit of background on you. Before the USO camp shows, what did you
Well, do? Before that, I was with Abbott and Costello in Chiefs of Paris, and I worked with Max Gordon in Sunny River.
Mm-hmm. And then the USO shows for how long?
I've been with them a year and a half now.
Uh-huh. And who was in your unit overseas?
We had five people. A girl accordionist by the name of Aurea Clem.
Mm-hmm.
A girl who did impressions by the name of Miss Julia Cummings. A magician by the name of Paul LaPaul. And Stubby K, our MC.
Yeah, I'd like to have been sitting out front and watch that outfit work. I bet you put on a good show. How'd the men over there like the show?
Well, the boys seem to love us because we're Americans, but truthfully, I don't think they loved us half as much as we love them.
Oh, that's nice. That's the spirit that puts it over. Was it fun playing film?
Oh, it was wonderful.
And between shows and after shows, you talked to them much?
Well, that was really the biggest part of our show, talking to them before and after, all about home and what we had seen and what we might have known.
And they wanted to talk about the girlfriend?
Oh, yes. I always reminded them of somebody's girlfriend or somebody's wife or somebody's
sister. You would remind most any young man of something very nice.
Thank you.
Tell me, what was the toughest part of the trip? I know you went to Newfoundland and you went to England and you went to North Africa, and you went to Sicily?
I think Sicily. First of all, yes.
Why was it so tough?
Well, I mean, after all the raids, there wasn't very much left.
No.
There wasn't.
You know what mud is, don't you?
Mud? Yeah? Up to my knees.
Yeah. And you put a good wash woman when you wash? No.
Oh, my mother used to do it all, but now I'm very capable.
You can do all that, yeah. Well, do you like showers or tubs, or did you get a chance over there to do much of that?
Well, of course, you just took what was given to you.
I bet you did. So, did you get a little homesick over there yourself, haven't I?
Oh, did I get homesick?
Yeah?
Oh, heaven forbid.
Nice to see somebody from home,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
And then, of course, anybody that might be going home or on their way back to the United States, I'd always ask them to phone my mother.
Did anybody do it for you?
Captain Eddie Rickenbacker.
Oh, Captain Rickenbacker did?
I asked him if he was too busy, would he have a secretary do it? And he said, no. He said, I'll do it myself. And he did.
Yeah, and I know that your mother loved that person-to-person support on you, too. And we know something else, Peggy. You know that you've got a long list of fathers and mothers, a couple of hundred or more, and if you haven't finished yet, delivering the messages for those men over there to their folks here, isn't that right?
That's right. I had about 125 men.
Uh-huh. Well, we thought that maybe you'd like to talk with one of those men, fathers, over here tonight. So here on this long-distance phone is the father of one of those men from whom you have a message.
Is this a long-distance
call? This is a long-distance call. You recall Sergeant John Landon Smith over there in North Africa?
In North Africa, yes.
You
do?
Well, Peggy, here's his dad, Mr. Raymond Smith, out from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Go ahead and talk to him.
Hello, Mr. Smith.
How do you do, Peggy? Meeting you is next best to saying hello to my son, Landon.
Well, he's a mighty fine young man. I think you should be very proud of him.
We heard from him for the first time in 5 weeks this morning. He now has his letters somewhere in Italy. While we do not feel any concern about his health, we would like to hear from you that he has lots of that, and particularly that he is in good spirits and enjoying the work he's been assigned to.
Well,
can he still sleep standing up? Tell us something about the orchestra.
Well, I think he can, and you know he's a very accomplished musician, and believe me, he's keeping up the boys' morale. He has a fine orchestra over there, and you know how talented he is. Is there anything else you'd like to know, sir?
Well?
Of course, you want to know if he's well, and he is well. The GIC certainly agrees with him, as it did with me. It's put a lot of extra pounds on me.
Say, Peggy, let me interrupt here, Mr. Smith. Peggy. We want to you, as soon as you leave the microphone, Peggy, to go right back in the control room. And I know there are a lot of little intimate things that Mr. Smith wants to ask you about his son, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and talk as long as you want to with the compliments of Bromo Seltzer. And we know, Peggy, that you and your mother just love that little apartment of yours, and you're constantly fixing it up beautifully, and we happen to know that you would like a nice, pretty picture. So here's a still life in oil in a pretty dull gold frame for you. And for your mother, a lovely white quilted houseboat with Carl Lascelles and Lounge.
Oh,
think you
like
lovely.
That? Thank you.
Give me these telephones. Now, you go on back there. We'll call you in a minute. Okay, Warren. Thanks, Clark. Folks, we don't want to forget the good work of over 100 USO camp show units now touring service bases in this country. The entertainers sitting up all night on trains, sleeping in hotel lobbies, working and traveling long, exhausting hours. We've seen them in our Vox Pop travels. But tonight, we're concerned primarily with the overseas veterans. Now, here's one who's just back from several months in the South Pacific in the first USO Camp Shows unit to go out there. From Astoria, Long Island, guitarist and singer Bob Gilchrist. Bob,
why did you give up a good income? I know you did, as lots of others have, to go with USO camp shows overseas.
Well, Warren, I figured I wanted to do a little something in this war, and I thought that that's probably the best thing that I could do, and having a son on a PT boat in the Navy was an extra little incentive, too, so that's why I did it.
I say, what did Mrs. Gilchrist say about it?
Well, when I went home and asked her what she thought about my going away for a long, long trip, she said, well, I couldn't think of you doing anything else. So that's the way it started, Warren.
She's a wonderful woman. And so off you went. What sort of welcome did you get on Guadalcanal?
Well, it's rather humorous now, although at the time it wasn't very funny to us. We got off the airplane, and we went over to our tent and laid our bags down, and boom. A siren started blowing. There was a soldier standing nearby. Said, hey, what is that? He said, that's an invitation for you to get down in that foxhole.
Well, you saw action right off. By the way, who was in your unit?
Well, we had Jim Burke, the movie actor. You know, the guy that plays all the dumb cop parts. And Marty Sunshine, a magician, and myself.
Well, is Marty as old as you and Jim?
Oh, they're both older than I am, but none of us are chickens, you know.
Well, how did you do over there?
Well, Warren, we had one audience of 8,000, and the theater was the side of a hill, and they built a little platform down at the bottom for our stage. And in order to get down there, we had to pass through this audience. And on the way down, I chanced to hear a remark that a Marine passed. He says, what in the world are those three old grandfathers going to do to entertain us?
Well, Bob, what did you do?
Well, we went out there and we threw the book at him, Warren. We did a show of an hour and a half. We did everything we possibly could do. Jim Burke went out and says, boys, he says, we haven't another earthly thing we can do. Jim sang songs and told them stories until he was exhausted. He says, we just can't do anymore. From way up on top of the hill comes a voice, start the whole show all over again.
Well, that shows how hungry the men were for entertainment and how good you three were to hold them for an hour and a half. That's a long time, brother. So what sort of material did you use?
Well, Jim told them lots of stories, I said before, and Marty was the magician, but we based the entire production for the boys themselves. It was laughs all the way through from beginning to the end of the show.
They want lots of laughs.
Lots of laughs.
Well, how about the songs, Ron?
Well, I sang most all kinds of songs, Warren. As a matter of fact, it was my honor and privilege to take White Christmas down to a lot of the boys. But they had never heard it. And, Warren, it absolutely would break your heart to stand on the stage and watch the expression on those boys' faces as you sing that song. After the first couple of bars, you see those heads go down into the hands. And for a couple of minutes, those kids were home.
Well, I don't suppose that any of us can realize what that song means to them out there. Did they have any other favorites?
Well, I went back about 20 years and dusted one off, a little Irish song called Who Threw the Overalls in Mrs. Murphy's Chowder? So I did that for the boys in the front lines, and several weeks later, when we were visiting the wounded in hospitals that had been brought back from Rendova and Munda, they called us over and says they stormed the beach singing Who Threw the Overalls in Mrs. Murphy's Chowder?
Ah, that's wonderful. Say, one more thing, Bob. You're a father with a son in the service, and you must be concerned about this. You think that the training and fighting and killing that the men are getting, a hard life they're living, is going to change them completely? Do you think that they're going to come back that way or not?
Well, Warren, I've given that a lot of thought. Having, as I said before, a boy in the Navy and being with those boys for so many months, it's my firm opinion that they're all of the same mind. They want to get that over with and get back here so that they can get right back into their normal life, and I think they'll be just the same as they were before they were over there.
And there are a lot of mothers and fathers who are glad to hear that, Bob. Say, we know that you're going out again any day, so here's something from Bromo Seltzer that you can use and never worry about, Bob. It's a Mido watch, 100% waterproof, and it winds itself. It's anti-magnetic, and it's shockproof, too. So we have that for you. And for Mrs. Gilchrist and your daughter to enjoy while you're away, we have a beautiful jade green, hand-decorated pole floor lamp.
Oh,
good luck
that's
to
you, wonderful.
Thanks for
Thank
talking to us, Bob Gilchrist.
Thank you very much.
The next interview on Vox Pop is with an old friend, one of the stars of our show. So, Warren, Dave, Bob, a musical introduction, please, and don't spare the pitch pipe.
Okay, Bob, it's
right one.
Oh, stop, look and listen, our train is passing through. So, stop, look and listen, it's talking right to you.
Fight, Eddie! get a common sick headache, take a Bromo-Seltzer. Then you're on the right track to quick, effective relief. For unlike some headache preparations, Bromo-Seltzer fights the three-way misery that may often accompany a common sick headache these three ways.
Bromo-Seltzer quickly relieves headache pain.
That's one.
Bromo-Seltzer helps calm jumpy nerves.
That's two.
Bromo-Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
That's three. So don't settle for anything that does less for you than Bromo-Seltzer. Now, incidentally, you can take Bromo-Seltzer while it's still fizzing or wait till it settles down. Either way, you get effective relief. Feel better fast. Use Bromo-Seltzer only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when it's a common sick headache that's making you miserable, get on the right track. Take the advice of our talking box pop train.
Fight the headache three ways.
Hundreds of thousands of our men overseas have heard and have loved. Their headline vaudeville act is known all over the world. And like most USO actors, they are working at a real sacrifice. They're not asking more, they're getting less. Much, much less than they could have earned had they stayed at home. We want you to meet two of the finest characters in all show business, Will and Gladys Ahern. Will, I see you and Gladys are wearing your overseas, USO camp show's overseas uniforms. Are you just coming or just going?
Both.
You mean you just come and just going too?
Yeah.
And they tell me that you were in the last war. Is that right?
That's right, I was. Funny thing, yesterday, 25 years ago yesterday, I was on the George Washington entertaining our president over to the peace conference at Versailles.
Oh, 25 years ago, and you were a job on the old George Washington.
Well, it's an actor.
Give me just a highline, headline of your act so that the folks will call it out there. What?
Well, we do more or less of a novelty, roping, spinning, dancing, comedy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a topical gag.
And Gladys?
Yeah, she joins
us. Let's get her in over here right now. Come here, Gladys. Tell me where you all have been.
Well, we did what you might call the Caribbean area, taking the Puerto Rican sector of the Trinidad, and then we pioneered the South Atlantic Ring, home 6 days, and then up to the Aleutians.
And the Aleutians. Uh-huh. Well, now, were there any other couples up there?
No.
Just
no
you
other
two?
Couples. You mean married couples.
That's right. Married couples. Mm-hmm. Where'd you live in it then?
Well, we spent about a day trying to find a place where we could live together, and we had to go to another island just a distance from our base, and we found a cute little house that belonged to the Northern Commerce Company.
How was it funny?
Well, it wasn't. Until we got acquainted with what I call my little boys, the little guys. We did some midnight requisitioning, and we got most everything we wanted.
The Admiral's carpets and the things like that.
Well, yes, we wound up with the Admiral's
carpets. Talking about furnishing the home, Gladys, we know that you and Will love your home, and just every time you get back, you go in it. And let's stop right here, because it's an appropriate thing, and give you some gifts for that little home right now, both of you. First, it's a solid brass etched tray from India. It's about 3 feet across. And to put it on from Russia, antique brass samovar. Beautiful samovar. And a lovely brass candelabrum. It's the figure of a Russian peasant. And last, to hang on the wall behind this group, a gorgeous antique paisley shawl.
Oh.
That's it in the house, all right? Say, Warren, where's Will?
Well, you're talking to me. I hope you'll invite us to tea sometime, Will. Say, Will, there's one thing I wanted to ask you. If you remember any dramatic thing that happened up there, do you entertain it?
Well, I don't remember anything greatly to us that happened, but one of the most outstanding incidents up there was when a troop ship laden with our boys going to one of the islands further on in the Aleutians. Our trooper entertainers were up there singing on the dock, and as the boys pulled out, the girls were singing Aloha. And as they were singing Aloha, the boys lined up on the rail, sang back Aloha to them. And they started out the ship. As it sailed on, you could hear these chorus of voices singing Aloha. Well, just something like this. Aloha.
One fond embrace before I love.
Folks, we want to leave you with that picture of our men sailing away on that transport into battle, and the entertainers still on shore singing to them and with them. By the way, the girl singing Aloha with our theater audience is just another of the many overseas veterans, Miss Brownie Reed, recently back from the Aleutians.
Yes, folks, you've heard the story tonight. These USO camp show entertainers were sent all over the world. Part of the money that you give, the United War Fund Drive, makes it possible for these people to bring pleasure to your brother, to your sweetheart, your son, or husband. Even if you've given to the fund, won't you send them just one more dollar to your local United War Fund Drive? Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Yes, friends, it's Aloha until next week, when Parks Johnson and Warren Hull will talk with another exciting group of people. Norwegian men of the sea who have escaped from their Nazi-dominated homeland and are here training at the Royal Norwegian Navy Gunnery School at Travers Island, Pelham, New York. Now, because these men have families in occupied Norway, their names will not be disclosed as a precaution against enemy retaliation. Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits Travers Island. And remember, Bromo Seltzer brings you another great show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. It's radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for time and station. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
Fight headache!
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.